This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and welcome back to another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. One of the things that I have become fascinated with recently is the miracles found in the Bible. People ask me somewhat regularly when I'm trying to share faith with them and they don't really have a faith system, why doesn't God do the same kind of miracles today that he did in the time of the Bible? Well, I believe he does. I think our minds have been focused and trained to be able to explain many of those things away in the knowledge that we think we possess in a modern day society. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun today to tackle what exactly is a miracle? So in 1 Kings chapter 18, over in the Old Testament, we see an expression of God's power. Elijah at Mount Carmel. Now, here's what happens in beginning of verse 20 in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings. So Ahab, this is the king, so Ahab summoned all the Israelites and gathered the prophets on Mount Carmel. Then Elijah, now he's the prophet, he's the man of God. Then Elijah approached all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal," and if you know your Bible history, you know Baal is a picture of a false god, an idol that Ahab was directing the people to honor and to follow, even though it was just a statue. And the scripture says, "But if Baal, follow him." But the people didn't answer him a word. Isn't that interesting? Elijah approaches the people and he says, "How long are you going to pick between these two?" And they won't. They don't. And then in verse 22, then Elijah said to the people, "I am the only remaining prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. They are to choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. I will prepare the other bull and place it on the wood, but not light the fire. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh, the God who answers with fire. He alone is God." And all the people answered, "Well, that sounds great." And in verse 25, then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Since you're so numerous, choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first. Then call on the name of your God, but don't light the fire." So they took the bull that he gave them. They prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "Baal, answer us, Baal, answer us." But there was no sound. No one answered. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made with this bull. And then at noon, Elijah jumps in, and this is when you know that the divine has a sense of humor. His prophet, Elijah, at noon mocks them. He says, "Shout loudly, for he's God. Maybe he's thinking it over. Maybe he has wandered away, or maybe he's on the road. Perhaps he's sleeping, and we'll wake up." And they shouted loudly, and they cut themselves with knives and spears according to their custom until blood gushed over them. All afternoon, they kept on raving until the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no sound. No one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near me." So all the people approached him. Then he repaired the Lord's altar that had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel will be your name." And he built an altar with the stones in the name of Yahweh, the true God. Then he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold about 4 gallons. Next, he arranged the wood, cut up the bull, and placed it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the offering to be burned and on the wood." Then he said a second time, and they did it a second time. And then he said a third time, and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. He even filled the trench with water. So these other folks have been going at it for hours upon hours upon hours, and they're literally making a fool of themselves, crying out to a false god. And Elijah is saying, "Okay, well, tell you what, I'm going to make this harder. I'm going to soak this bowl, this wood, and I'm going to put a trench around it, a moat, fill it all with water. So when God lights this fire, you're going to know that this is the real deal." So watch this. In verse 36, it says, "At the time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached the altar and said, 'Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that this people will know that you, Yahweh, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.'" Then Yahweh's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. Then Elijah, in verse 40, ordered them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let them let even one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi Kishon, and he slaughtered them there. This, what we know, is an expression of God's power. When we trust God to do with all of our heart what we know he can do, then it is an expression in our lives of his power. Think of the one thing you desperately need God to do today, and then ask the Lord to give you faith, surrendering faith. Allow him to give you faith, life-changing faith. Allow him to give you the ability to cry out like Elijah did and trust that he's going to send heavenly fire to surrender the problem that's ahead of you. My friend, that God is still in action today, and he's waiting for his men and women, his children, to call on his name with great faith. Take that today and run as hard as you can with it. He is Yahweh. He is God. He is the divine. And he cannot wait to hear from you today. God bless you. See you tomorrow.